Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the one-on-one Inside Lacrosse Podcast. We are joined today by Jamison Kesterer, Hopkins assistant coach, face-off man extraordinaire, teacher, player, and also now movie star from the new Crooked Arrows movie. The opposing coach, the bad guy opposing coach, as you've seen him on the big screen. What do you think so far, man? How's things going?
It's going well. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and when we were sitting up in Danvers, Massachusetts, you know, about a year ago today, I would have never thought that the film would get to the point where it's at right now. So I couldn't ask for anything more. I'm happy. You know, I think it's a good thing to come, not just for the film, but also for the sport of lacrosse. And, you know, ultimately, that's why I got involved in this project to begin with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, why don't we start there with how you did get involved with the movie when you guys shot it back a year ago up in Denver, in Boston?
Yeah, well, it's a long story. The process for me started, you know, roughly 2-3 years ago when I was living in Seattle, Washington, working for WildAxe.com and the West Coast Stars program. My father works for a company called Sports Studio, who ended up doing hiring the choreography and designing and manufacturing all the equipment and the uniforms for the film. So in the Sports Studio offices, you know, they get multiple scripts, athletic scripts and commercials. And, you know, obviously being the father of three, you know, Division I lacrosse players, when a lacrosse script came across his desk, you know, he's a little intrigued. He kind of passed it on to me and said, you know, James, I think you should take a look at this. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, we didn't really know what was going to happen at that point. It was just, you know, words on paper. So I kind of stayed in touch. He put me in touch with Todd Harris and Mitchell Peck, the producers. At the time in Seattle, you know, I knew a couple parents with deep pockets. I thought that maybe I could, you know, sell that to them, the film, the story of lacrosse. You know, they're eating it up like, you know, like candy out there. So I thought maybe I could do a little bit of fundraising and find some sponsors and investors for the film. We flew Todd up there. I had an investors meeting. Long story short, I never ended up raising any money, but I became a little bit closer with Todd. Kind of helped him with a little bit of the lacrosse process as the script was being drawn out. And just kind of stayed in touch with them through you know, communication emails, just making sure, you know, that I stayed involved with whatever they were doing. And ultimately, you know, when they hired Sports Studio, they brought along Mark Ellis, who, you know, if you know anything about choreography and sports films, he's kind of the guy, you know, in Hollywood for that stuff. And, you know, whenever he does a film for a certain sport, he's always got a guy that knows a little bit more about whatever he's doing than he does. And I interviewed for that, you know, to help him with the lacrosse portion when they hired him to do that. And he just kind of kept me in mind. Things kind of worked out. Last summer, I helped with the casting tour. You know, we did an event here in Baltimore. During Memorial Day weekend, we had other locations in Long Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, you know, and obviously in Syracuse. So, you know, we just kind of had a good relationship. I think we worked well together, and he decided to hire me to help with the choreography. And, you know, through that process, you know, we generated, you know, the script. We took what the movie was going to look like on paper and made it into X's and O's and kind of drew out the plays. And, you know, I wanted to help tell the story through the game of lacrosse. And, you know, so we're going through our 2-week training camp, you know, a little bit in the July of last year, working with all the talent that we had found, you know, all the lacrosse players and two that we had found through the casting call. And we're going through all the plays and, you know, it was really a strenuous process. And, you know, one day I think I just lost it. You know, I started screaming and yelling and I threw a fit and, you know, I just couldn't take it any longer. And, the producer or the director, Steve Rash, was just happy to be sitting on the sidelines, and it's 100 degrees in the middle of nowhere, Massachusetts, and he pulls me off the field, and I think, you know, oh my gosh, here we go, I'm going to get thrown out, I'm done. And he goes, you know, Jameson, I think we have a part for you in this movie, would you mind reading? I said, excuse me? And, you know, he's like, I think we have a role for you, would you mind coming over here and reading it? And, and the rest, you know, that's in a nutshell, that's it, but the rest is what you see in the movie.
Wow, so that just kind of happened naturally, and next thing you know, I mean, it seemed to me like the latter third of the movie, you were getting as much face time as anybody else. I mean, you were, you know, one of the main characters. And that just all kind of happened organically?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like I said, originally, you know, I was just fortunate enough through my father and Sports Studio to be involved with the film. You know, he kind of kept me in the loop like that, through that. You know, I formed a good relationship with Mark Ellis. And all I really, you know, to be honest with you, John, in the beginning, all I wanted to do was help the lacrosse, make it look real, make it look authentic. I didn't want it to be too cheesy. You know, I wanted it to help to tell a good story and also do the sport justice. And then, you know, them casting me was just by coincidence. You know, it's just, I coach for a living, and, you know, it's just a natural thing. And I was just, it could have been anybody. It just happened to be me.
Well, congrats, man. What do you think of the finished product now that you've seen it in the theaters?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times now. I think it's great. You know, I think they did a really, really good job. I couldn't be happier. And it's a really good story. You know, what attracted me originally, aside from the fact that it was a movie about lacrosse, was the story. You know, the Native American background, the origins of the game, you know, the authenticity of where it came from. And, you know, I think Brandon and all the people did a great job and involved with the film. I tell everybody that Steve, you know, for a guy that's done the numerous Hollywood projects, was extremely open to advice, you know, and if I wanted to change something, or Neil Paulus, you know, who we'll talk about a little bit later, if we wanted to change something that wasn't in the script or wasn't on, you know, what they had originally planned, he was extremely open to the idea. And usually that doesn't happen in films. You know, this is the way they want to do it, and they're not really listening to anybody else. You're just kind of there to collect a paycheck. And that was not the case, you know. So I think that people like that, working with people like that, allowed this film to become what it is today. And I think the finished product is great. I couldn't be happier.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, have you gotten any interesting response from anybody? Have you gotten recognized anywhere that you might not have before? It's not like, you know, your face has never been on TV with Hopkins Sidelines and pro lacrosse and everything else. But nevertheless, this is kind of maybe a different market that you'd be hitting. But, yeah, any interesting response from anybody so far?
Not really. You know, I'm applying for my SAG card just to have it. You know, I've gotten some advice from people. You know, I don't really think that I'm looking to be an actor or go into Hollywood. That's not really my thing. But, you know, I was cast as a coach because I was a coach, and I guess you could say it was method acting, but I'm not sure I would be able to do anything else acting wise. So no, not yet, not any interest in anything else yet.
And what was Coach Petromala's response when he saw you on the big screen?
He looked at me and said, I recognize that guy. I know those emotions. He did a good job. I actually just spoke to him yesterday. He took his two boys to go see the film. And, you know, I, with all due respect, you know, I said, I don't really care what you think. I said, what do your boys think? And he said they loved it. So, and I said, that's great. You know, that's all I need is, and that's, you know, that's what we're shooting for, the youth of America, you know, getting them engaged in the game, teaching them the origins, and just giving them something to have, you know, when they go to their school and they're talking or they're hanging around with friends that don't play lacrosse. They can finally say, hey, you know, did you go see this lacrosse movie? And that's something that you and I never got to do as a kid. So that's, you know, that's the most gratifying thing to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I agree. I think they did a fantastic job with the movie. That, you know, lacrosse action's great. It's interesting. It makes the sport look really exciting. And, you know, and the movie is, you know, the package itself is great. So I think it all worked out well. Hopefully people will be checking it out, going to crookedarrows.com to check the locations and times and everything. It is now nationwide as of June 1st. So, important thing I know is for lacrosse people to go out there and check it out as soon as possible. But I guess, so what else is going on with you this summer? Probably a busy one for you with teaching and coaching and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I officially, you know, we just talked about this. You know, I just finished up my second year as a volunteer assistant at Hopkins. I'm definitely looking to, you know, continue coaching and pursue that, you know, as an official paid position. So, you know, I'm just crossing my teeth, dotting my I's, you know, following up with emails. I've applied to a couple positions that are open right now, you know, hoping that something comes through. I'm going to be going to an interview next week. You know, aside from that, I'm just staying busy. I'm working with the Crabs Lacrosse program here in Baltimore on a weekly basis. I'm working with a couple teams. I also, you know, I'm up at the Coppermine Fieldhouse facility, which is right off 83. We have weekly lacrosse clinics and, you know, camps going all summer. So I've got, and that's on top of, you know, the Hopkins camps that we do. We have the day and night camp in 2 weeks and two overnight camps in July. And I'm flying back out to Seattle for another camp in August. So, you know, just staying busy, just staying involved with the game and spreading the word about Crooked Arrows.
Nice. Well, good luck with all that. I guess just coming off, I know the season didn't probably end the way you hoped it would with Hopkins, but, you know, in looking at it, what Mike Poppleton did at the Faceoff X, 62% after, in kind of his first full-time season, at that position, what can you say? I mean, you were working obviously directly with him as a faceoff guy. What was kind of his development like and what went into his successful season?
It was all Mike. You know, I think that he had a really difficult year, and people overlook this. When they talk about Mike this year, trying to follow up what Matt DeLente did last year as a first team All American was extremely difficult. You know, I think he had a lot of pressure on him. You know, there's a lot of pressure at any D1 school, but certainly at Hopkins, you know, to perform well. So I think he felt a lot of pressure trying to live up to what Matt did the previous year. And then that being said, I think he did a good job kind of just saying that was Matt and this is me, you know. And, we had to work on some different things fundamentally. He struggled at times this year. He actually, he missed some time early in the year. He missed the Towson game because he suffered an injury in the scrimmage. So he kind of got off to a slow start. But there were times this year where, we really needed the ball. We were struggling offensively. And we needed those possessions. And, there was a couple games this year where he was able to go over 60, close to 70%. And, as anybody who's following the game now knows, possession is key. I think that's part of the reason why we lost our last game to Maryland is, we didn't show up. We didn't really have a great day. My game plan wasn't good enough. And Maryland was able to keep possession and maintain, control of the ball. And that's ultimately what did us in. But, you have to look back, you have to pat him on the back and say that he did a good job. Playing over 60%, we can be happy with. And most importantly, I think he can build off of that next year. He's still got a lot of work to do. But I know he's a good kid. He's a fellow upstate New Yorker. He grew up 5 minutes from me, so he knows how to work hard. And I think he'll put the time in this summer. And I know he'll be ready to go when he comes back in September.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that you're still rocking the 315 area code, which is good. A little Central New York love. Stick to your roots. What is your take? You hear a lot of people, talking about face-offs and rules and, mm-hmm. and how how each one is refereed and what is kind of your take on that part of the game and should changes be made? Is it fine the way it is? I mean, what are kind of your thoughts?
I'm actually, I don't really follow what a lot of other people think about facing off, but I think that it's pretty good. I'd say that's an 8 out of 10 right now, if you would. When I played my senior year, it was just down whistle. There was no set. So I think the implementation of the set definitely evens it out. It kind of levels the playing field. You have to rely a little bit more on technique, and you have to have patience. The biggest challenge for us, and I would assume this is for other programs, is just becoming comfortable with the referee. Every referee is different. I think that's the biggest challenge for anybody is the cadence. The cadence is different for every official. Every official looks for something different. The rule where you can't have your hand on the plastic, some officials, some referees would be all over that. There'd be Saturdays where we couldn't have our hand anywhere near the head of the stick. Other Saturdays, they weren't even looking at it, and we're grabbing, the foot of our stick all the way up to maybe the middle of the head. So, just little things like that. I think the dive bombing with the elbow, they did a pretty good job throwing that out the window. Some guys are still laying over on the ball too much. I'm not a big fan of the flopping and diving on the ball. I like to stay, balanced and try to get the ball out as soon as possible and make it a 3-on-3 battle. But, I'd have to say I'm pretty pleased overall. And I think that the rules have made it to the point where the best man wins, and ultimately that's what you want. So.
Absolutely. In terms of younger guys out there, younger, midfielders or whatever position facing off, junior high school kids, what's your best piece of advice for those guys in learning this trade and getting better?
Balance. I think that, being balanced, being strong, having a good core center of gravity is the most important thing. I kind of touched on it briefly, but, there was multiple times this year, I'm just giving credit to our wings here, guys like Jack Riley, freshman Jack Pellegrino, Mike Pellegrino, Robbie Guida, guys like that. When you're able to stay balanced and not lay down on the ground, if you lose the draw and you're diving on the ball, you end up on your face or your stomach and the ball comes out, then it's a 3-on-2 ground ball. But if you can stay balanced and be in an athletic position and contend the ball, then you always have a chance. Even though you lose the draw, you haven't lost possession yet. And ultimately, that's what you want, is you want to gain possession and you want to give yourself the best opportunity to do that. So whether that's, getting up and chasing after the ball, getting into his hands, getting a piece of his chest, being aggressive and playing physical and being balanced, I think, that's what I coach my guys to do. And I think that, being a young kid, obviously you want to work on technique, having quick wrists, working on your moves, being versatile. I think that's another thing that's kind of overlooked. everybody nowadays is into the pinch and pop. You know, everybody wants to be a heavy clamper or pinch and pop and go forward. You know, well, how do you counter that? You know, you can't counter that with another pinch and pop or a clamp. You know, you got to learn how to jam. You got to learn the quick break. You got to be versatile. You got to have more than one tool in your belt. So, you know, being versatile, being balanced, you know, I think for a young kid growing up, those are two very important things.
Awesome. Well, that's great advice from one of the best face-off coaches out there. Now, you also do some. It seems like you and Paul Rabel work a little bit on shooting one-on-one. What kind of goes into that? And what's? I mean, that's kind of a unique relationship. One of the best, you know, the best player in the game. You know, working on his shooting with you know, former teammates. So, what goes into that? And what's that process like?
Well, that's cool. You know, Paul and I go back. You know, when he was a freshman in 2004 at Hopkins. You know, so I know him from then. You know, I played with him in the stealth. We had a brief stint for 2 years out in Washington. We ended up winning the championship in 2010. And when I moved back to Baltimore, I got to spend a lot of time with Coach Bobby Benson, you know, who I think is one of the smartest, if not the smartest, offensive guys in the game, you know, in terms of teaching X's and O's and what you look for in a shooter. So some of that, you know, I tried to be a sponge and soak up some of that. And Paul knew that. So, you know, a little bit over a year ago, he came to me and just asked if I'd help him with some small shooting stuff. You know, I've got a long list of drills that we do in individuals in the fall and the winter season with our guys. So I just tried to implement that, some of that into his game. You know, obviously being the best player out there, you know, you don't have to work too hard to help him, but, you know, there's small things that you can do, you know, working on his balance. You know, he likes to shoot the ball sidearm a little bit, so I try to get him to shoot overhand as much as possible. You know, keeping his arms away from his body, having good rotation, having good balance on his follow-through. You know, obviously we don't need to work on the split dodge too much. I try to deter him from swing dodging, but it doesn't seem to go too well. You know, shoot on the run, and really it's just repetitions. You know, it's just getting him out there. You know, I don't think anybody works harder in the game, and not a lot of people know that. You know, that's why he's the best, is he puts the time into it. So it's really just getting him out there, getting him repetitions and also quality repetitions, and just being another set of eyes, you know, looking at him, making sure that he's staying consistent with the fundamentals and the stuff that he wants to work on. So it's been fun. You know, it's easy. And I'm up there working anyway, so, you know, might as well just help him out if he comes.
Nice. Well, that's great. Yeah, that's kind of a cool relationship. And yeah, definitely credit to Paul's game that he's still tweaking and working on stuff. And I guess, you know, one last question on the coaching front. You know, as a former player, you know, it seems like a lot of guys are coming out of college and going the route that you have in terms of volunteer assisting at a top school and kind of learning from the best guys. John Galloway's doing it down at Duke. You know, a lot of these guys seem to be doing it. What's the best, I guess what's the best advice for those guys? What have you learned, and what do you try to do? Like you said, kind of be a sponge. But what are kind of the things that you've picked up from watching guys like Dave Petromala and Bobby Benson coach at that elite level?
It's the stuff that you don't see on the field. You know, the volunteer, you're not really required to be there outside of practice. So for me, it was just trying to be in the office as much as possible. You know, the hours that they put in watching film. But not only just watching film, but, you know, breaking it down. Like, what are they looking at? They're not just watching, you know, who scores and how they score. You know, it's strategy. You know, it's schemes. You know, how to attack. You know, who's weak? Who's not playing well? What do they like to do if, you know, if you go into an invert or you go to a mix look behind? You know, what do they like to do? Are they going to switch on picks, or are they going to keep matchup integrity? You know, so it's small stuff like that with film. You know, breaking down personnel. You know, not just the guys that play, but being ready for everybody on the team, you know, their tendencies, because you never know, you know, what the opponent, who they're going to throw out there on the field. You know, so it's the film breakdown. It's the scouting. You know, it's how they deal with the players. You know, being able to be in the office outside of practice, you get to see the guys on your team that walk into the coach's office. And, you know, so most of the time, you know, when a guy walks into the office, it's not to talk about lacrosse. You know, he's struggling with, you know, maybe a family issue, or he's not doing well in school, or he's not feeling well, or he needs a little bit of a boost of confidence, something like that. So, you know, I think forming a relationship with the players is one of the most important things that I've learned, and being able to do that, because if you can't have a relationship with the guys that you're coaching, you'll never be successful. So I think that, you know, that was one of the most important things that I learned as a volunteer, and I'm certainly going to take with me wherever I go next.
Excellent. Well, congrats on all that you have learned and accomplished so far, and congrats on the Crooked Arrow success so far. Yeah, I guess so. For more information, go to crookedarrows.com. You can check more information on insidethecross.com. Sports Studio is at sportsstudio.net, your father Mark's company, yeah. And I've actually had a chance to go out there and check out that facility. It's an amazing
place. Yeah, it's
place.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I was blown awesome. Away. Yeah. So much cool stuff in there. And then Twitter handle is Squire Rockwell, is that correct?
Correct.
Any significance to that?
No, just an old nickname. You know, I like to hold down the 315, and that goes way back to my Casanova days. So, I don't do Twitter for publicity, so that's why I didn't really have my name out there to begin with. I put that name out there, you know, a couple years ago, and I just kind of stuck with it. It is what it is.
Nice. Well, if people want to hop on board, they can do that. But thanks again for the time, and good luck with this summer and the next couple steps for you.
Awesome, John. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Inside the Cross Podcast.